You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Okay, let's get this show on the road. You're all welcome along. It is Series 6, Episode 14 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. I'm Kieran Burke, and I'm delighted to be joined by Gary Riley. Jeez, Gary, it only seems like a few hours ago I was looking into your face driving down to Limerick, but we're back.
Lucky you, huh?
Yeah, that's right. we'll touch on that game later on. How was your day since I seen you last?
Oh, good, yeah. Working away. Happy enough. I don't know, but not ropey, but a bit frustrated after last night. But I'm just talking about football mind. frustrating performance. Well, not even performance, just a frustrating game from a town perspective. But yeah, as you said, we'll get onto that after.
Yeah, we surely will. We're doing a live space. Just I had to do a bit of borrowing and begging to get down to Limerick last night, so my work hours a bit longer over the next couple of nights than they should have been. So this was the only way we'd be able to do the pod this week, was a live Twitter space. So it's going to give listeners a chance to get involved. So as we're going through the show, if there's any subject you'd like to have your say on, just hit the request button and we will certainly have you on to have a chat. And you can drop us a tweet during the show as well, and we'll do our best to read out any tweets that come our way. But Gaz, we'll get stuck in to the Premier Division results from last Friday, and only one place to start. Shamrock Rovers 1, Derry City 0. A goal from Andre, who's having a fantastic season. But Rovers, are they well on their way now to 3 in a row?
I'm not sure. Would you say well on their way? To a certain extent, possibly. But I think, you know, I'm not sure if Derry are just dead and buried just yet. But definitely an important win for Shamrock Rovers, particularly after their earlier loss up in the Brandywell earlier on this season. Yeah. I think it was important that they got the win and opened up that little bit of daylight between the two teams. I think that was a very important result for Shamrock Rovers. But definitely, like, it was a tighter game. Derry did create some chances. There was some good saves as well from Manus in the game. So, you know, Derry would probably be looking at it. We could have got something here, but look, that's the way the ball hops, as we all know. But
I haven't seen as much of this game as I would have liked, because obviously we were at the Midlands Derby on the Friday night, and I haven't had a chance to watch the game back in full, so I'm really, really going off highlights. But I thought the commentary after the game from certain quarters was very interesting. A lot of journalists and people that were at it said, you know, this Derry team, despite the fact they lost, they proved that they're a real deal. And Rory Higgins after the game was very, very bullish and kind of proud with his team. He came out and, you know, he was saying, this team, I could see tonight, we're really, really going places. It's going in the right direction. So, look, if it's not going to be this season for Derry, you'd imagine the next couple of years, there's really big things coming the way for that football club.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, there's no, like you said at the start of the season, which I think was a very important point, that it was such a gap to make up from last year. Like, as if they've been building for a couple of years to get into this position. They kind of found themselves in this position all of a sudden. So, you know, it's going to take some time to gather it up and try and really challenge. But I think they've kind of, I know I tipped them for the league title this year, but they've come on so much in such a short space of time. You know, they've done extremely well. I don't want to say, you know, fair play to them, they're not going to win the league, but they give it a good old crack. I don't think it's anything like that just yet. But certainly, it was an important game for Shamrock Rovers to win. Like, they've started to really become very clinical in their games and winning games very comfortably. Like, in the lead-up to this, they scored 6 goals and conceded 2 against Harps and Sligo. So those are 2 very positive results leading into this. They did well, Shamrock Rovers. But I don't think it's all over yet for Derry either. And I think talk about, like, oh, they'll get it next year, or they're going to keep growing and stuff like that. Yeah, they'll keep growing, but this season isn't over yet.
That might be a way of maybe taking a little bit of pressure off for this season as well. Let's try and get Derry going under the radar a bit and talk about what's coming down the line, and maybe people will think it's all over this season. But I suppose the summer window would be very interesting for Derry, won't it? Because we're all waiting to see when Michael Duffy's going to come back. When he does come back, how fit will he be? How long will it take him to get firing? Are they ever going to get McElhenney right? But I don't think Rory Higgins is going to go. He's obviously got the budget there. He could sign anyone he wants. He could look across outside of Ireland and sign players. But I don't think he's going to bring players in for the sake of it. They're going to have to be the right characters. They're going to have to fit into the plan. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the summer there.
Yeah, it is. But like, you know, no manager gets players in because they feel like it. Do you know what I mean? It all has to fit. So, you know, we appreciate that Rory is going to do the right thing and get the right players in, but sure, that's the same for everybody. Do you know what I mean? Like, we needn't be, you know, just patting Rory on the back so much that, oh, fair play to you, you're going to get the right players in, you're not going to get people in for the sake of it. Sure, that's everybody. Like, he just has to be very shrewd in the players that he does get in. And does he have to look at the positions, like we'll say for McElhenney and Michael Duffy, if they're not going to be in good shape?
I think the one position that he probably does need some recruitment in is centre forward, because God forbid if Jamie McGonigal got an injury, I don't see a real genuine replacement for him there. Now obviously it's impossible to replace a player of that quality, but I think that's one area that might be just slightly light in.
Yeah, 100%. When you compare that to Shamrock Rovers, the players that they can, you know, the many midfielders they have there, some of them can play up front if required.
False nine.
Yeah, or whatever. But there's all players there that can actually get on the score sheet and be really effective in front of goal. We saw Danny Mandreou scoring there on Friday, sure. They're not afraid of it. So I think with Derry, I think that'd be one area. But like, how much quality can he get in to be a backup to Jamie McGonigal? That's going to be a very difficult spot to fill.
We'll move on. Dundalk 3, Buzz 1. There was a brilliant goal in this one, a brilliant passing goal, the Robbie Benson goal. Keith Ward, that must have hurt the Buzz fans to see him opening up the Buzz defence with that little disguised pass in behind, and Robbie Benson puts it into the back of the net. But Buzz, again, another game where they take the lead. Kieran Kelly puts them ahead, but Dundalk come roaring back. Really good performance from them. Hope and Benson, Doyle on the score sheet. Big win for Dundalk this one. Bouncing back from that mishap in UCD, of course.
Yeah, definitely a good win for Dundalk. I'm not sure, like, when you look at the context of the game in UCD, it definitely was a mishap, regardless of what way you look at it. But when you, and I know it'll be, oh, we had Andy Boyle sent off or something stupid, you know, no one will be thinking of that come October when, you know, if they're not in the position that they want to be. But from Dundalk perspective, it was great to get, you know, a good solid win at home, 3-1. And as you mentioned, Buzz unfortunately filling the togs and giving up a lead again. But to be fair, you know, at least, you know, on a good side from Buzz, they didn't concede in the last minute again. So the, you know,
they were late enough goals though from Dundalk, weren't they? The goals that won, I think they all came after 70 minutes or so. So again, it's late in the game.
The winning goals were after the 70th minute, but the equaliser was just after half time.
Something I must do in the next couple of days. It'd be interesting to go back and see how many points Bowes have dropped from a winning position this season.
I think someone tweeted about that, to be fair, already. And now it was a few games ago, but definitely.
I think the one that I saw a good few weeks back, I think I referenced it already on the pod. It was the league table after 60 minutes and Bowes were top.
That's right.
I suppose it'd be a similar kind of stats, but yeah, they must be top of the drop points from winning positions table as well, I'd imagine.
100%. And that's not a table you want to be on or near the top of it all. But I think that's the story of Bowes this season. It's been really, really hit and miss in so many areas. You know, defensive errors costing them a lot of points. Certain issues from last season that haven't been resolved at the back. Now, I know they lost Cornwall and stuff like that, but at the same time, you know, there's issues there that haven't been corrected at all. But that's just a part of the way Bowes are at the moment. They're letting players go and probably not getting the same quality in. You know, we said before that Keith Long has been pulling gems and pulling great players out of nowhere, it'll appear. And you know that's not really a very reliable method of building your squad. He's been brilliant at it for the last few years, but there's always going to be a year where he just can't do it, because you know it's all a lot of it's luck as well. Like we say, Georgie Kelly, it didn't happen for him, as you said last week. It didn't happen for him in a couple of places, and then it just everything clicked right for Bowes.
Yeah,
last season. So I think in this one, I'm not. Is Bowes the season written off already? Probably make an argument that it has been.
Of course, they've got Europe to come. So
they have Europe to come, but you know that's only really, you know.
They've no Europe to come, have they? They missed out on Europe. I'm just thinking.
Oh, sugar, yeah, genie.
Yeah, they did. I suppose it's a cup run. Then they're maybe a cup run might spark them into life, but.
I'm not sure they'll get much reprieve out of that. Like they'll need to get a few favourable draws. You know, even if they play maybe a first division side in the early rounds, you know, if they got Cork or Galway, in particular in the first division, that's a huge.
I'm not sure. We've spoken about the gulf between the first division and the Premier. I think Bowes would have enough to deal with either of them sides.
Yeah, well, they didn't have enough to deal with UCD earlier on the season. On the bowl, so you know nothing's just set in stone, just that handy. I think it's going to be a cup run is going to be the only saving grace for them at this point.
One issue again, unfortunately, look, we're becoming broken record with this, but I don't think it's been spoken about in enough other areas, and I think we're right to keep highlighting it. Again, the unsavoury incident in this game, Dundalk, the goal by Robbie Benson, number of objects thrown onto the pitch from the Bowes away end. Yeah. I mean, you set a spot on when, right, go back to the very start of this season, the FAI's decision to reverse the Talla behind closed doors situation, they really weakened their hand there, because we're seeing incident after incident, week after week now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, when are we going to see an end to this? Because it's just, there doesn't seem to be any real authority coming down here. That there's issues every week, and there's no real punishments coming down, small fines. It's not working.
Yeah, I think the FAI have to come out and start actually doing something here. We saw that incident down in Bray, nothing said about it. You know, lots of little things going on. You took a bit of abuse on Twitter about this particular incident.
I couldn't believe some of the comments I was getting. I mean, yeah. one Twitter user, Robbie Benson has no right to be celebrating in front of us over there. As you said, this whole thing about incitement, these are grown adults.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they even leave the penalty box, Dundalk. They didn't go right over and start roaring in supporters' faces. You know what I mean? There was a good distance between them and the Bowes away end.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but one comment that was made, which I thought was interesting, if you actually look at the goal, Benson was set up a little 1-2 or not, well, just a pass right in front of the keeper, and Benson was away. The player that passed in that ball was over the right hand side of the goal. Benson was running, you know, he slanted in that direction, and you know, there were a few yards outside the penalty box, and they weren't over, they weren't near the sideline, they weren't near the Bowes fans, and they didn't, for most of their celebrations, they just all hugged each other, they weren't interacting with the crowd at all.
Yeah.
And as you said, this whataboutery of, you know, why did Benson have to do that? If you actually
there was another one then as well. There was somebody had said they actually had footage of the incident and they could see who these people were. And someone said, well, are you going to hand that to the club or to somebody? Yeah. Well, Shamrock Rovers threw flares onto the pitch and burnt a hole in the net and nothing was done about that. So I'm not going to do anything about it. I said it and I'll keep saying it. League of Ireland fans, they are champions of whataboutery. But it's that attitude that leads to this, you know, these excuses. Or it's okay to do this because this crowd did this and this player did this. These people need to be identified. They need to be dealt with. That was a sellout away end, so I'm sure it should be quite easy to trace who got what tickets. And again, look, someone else said, well, anytime Bowes fans do something, it's amplified by 10. This is the same club that came out with that ridiculous statement after the Dublin Derby against Shamrock Rovers. praising their fans for not, reacting to the incitement from the Shamrock Rovers backroom team.
Yeah.
Where's the statement this week? Oh, well, you know, our fans actually did react this week to a little bit of incitement because the Dundalk players were 20 metres away from the sideline. I mean, you can't release a statement like that after a Dublin derby and then close your eyes to when something bad does happen.
Yeah, it's disappointing. I think, you know, a bit more responsibility needs to be taken. You know, there was no need for that. Like Robbie Benson, one of the quieter players in the league. I don't think he's ever been known for even G'ing up anybody. You know what I mean? Like it's very basic stuff. But like even like, you know, this idea, oh, why do you have to run there? You know what I mean? Like totally, you know, releasing any responsibility from adults in handling themselves like adults. It's hilarious stuff, and it's really taken away from, like, Bows are going on with record season tickets every year. It's very hard to get a ticket at all if you're not a season ticket holder or a member or a co-owner or whatever they're called. And, you know, all of that stuff is fine, but this stuff is still going on, and it's not being resolved. But not alone that, it's loads of excuses are being made up about it. So,
yeah.
I think more responsibility needs to be taken. But I will say one thing. It's like, you know, when you talk about a referee, not, you know, the referee in that Dundalk Shelburne game, letting that incident go across the entire or almost half the width of the pitch.
Yeah.
Letting that going on resulted in a problem that he had to resolve the wrong way entirely of the referee's own doing. You know, and he only has himself to blame for that. But like the FAI, they damaged themselves, as you mentioned already. They damaged themselves by changing the penalty for Shamrock Rovers for what went on in Waterford earlier on, at the end of last season. So now they're in this position that they can't, you know, what steps can they take now? They're not. I don't hear any words being said about it. I hear nothing from the FAI about it in any way, shape or form. And, you know, there doesn't appear to be enough being done across the league because this stuff is still going on. But definitely from a Bows perspective, you know, we highlighted a couple of, when that statement came out, you know, basically your own club is congratulating their fans for not being savages. And, you know, that's really, you know, if nothing ever happened before since, I'd be really ticked off about that. And I said that already, but, you know, I think, you know, the whataboutery, you know, this happened 2 months ago, so now this entitles us to throw bottles on the pitch. And no, there were empty bottles, though. There were empty bottles. So
yeah, right. That was another one.
You know, hilarious stuff. So, yeah. Like, you know, I think, but, you know, certain, and not just Bows, but a lot of fan bases across the league need to get a bit of a grip here.
Yeah, and a final word on this. People are saying genuine fans don't deserve to suffer through games being play behind closed doors because they're not involved in this. But I think we've talked about it before, certain element of self-police, and there needs to be that. And if Bows were to be punished off the back of this, the next time someone goes and throws a bottle on the pitch, you can be very sure someone's going to say, you were identifying him, get him out of here. And it won't happen again because that threat is there of genuine fans suffering. Now, I'm not calling for clubs to have to play games behind closed doors, but as you said, the FAI really weakened their hand to deal with these situations when they reversed that decision earlier on the season. And now, as you said, we're getting all this whataboutery, all this happened, that happened, so that allows this to be okay. There really needs to be more authority on this.
There does, and I definitely don't want an idea. Like, we don't need, like, you know, it was a good line in Dirty Harry, or one of the Dirty Harrys. It was the one where the policeman was doing all the killing. And, you know, what are you going to do? Next thing you know, we'll be shooting our neighbours for their dog taking a dump on our lawn. We don't need this. You know, that fella did that. Or next thing you know, he threw a flare, or he opened up a flare. And next thing you know, he didn't throw away his chip box at the end of the game. He's banned for 5 games. You know, we don't need this type of level of crap, and I don't want it starting. But from a fan perspective, I'm a fan of Longford Town. I'd be trying to get my own fellow fans, if they were at that behaviour, to stop it, because that gives me a bad name. Now, we're not asking for Well, I'm not asking for anything, but like, I certainly wouldn't even be considering asking, oh, we need to get rid of this lad. We need to do, he did this and he did that, and that was him, and that's that lad's brother. You know, I know him. Report him to the club, getting banned. I think that's a really toxic, bad way to do it. I think fans need to not even, you know, give the lad a clip around the ear, go cop yourself on. We don't need this, because it's definitely taken away from the experience. And even Bose fans, they were saying that, oh, it's amplified when it's Bose. It's amplified when it's everybody. Like, you know, everybody was talking about that thing. That I know that was a completely different level. What happened down the RSC last year. But I was in the UK at the time of that game, and there was you lads in England showing me videos of this. So, you know, they knew about it, you know what I mean? So, like, I know that was a completely different level, but that all needs to be stamped out.
Yeah, look, we've been very consistent on this. We've picked up a number of incidents across a number of clubs this season, and I think we're going to continue to do it, because this is toxic behaviour that's going on. It's damaging the league, it's damaging reputations of club and genuine supporters, and needs to be spoken about more. But I do think there needs to be more joined up thinking here between the clubs and the FAI to try and stamp this behaviour out, because it does seem to be, you said it on the last one, flares have been around in this league the last 30 years, but this thing of throwing them on the pitch seems to be becoming very prevalent. Throwing bottles on the pitch seems to be becoming a lot more common now. We need to do something to stop that. Let's move on. Shells 1, Drogheda 0. Back-to-back home wins for Shelburne. Just like a bus, they waited all season and two of them came at once.
Yeah, they did. Look, an important win for Shelburne. I think, you know, probably the, you know, I know we'll talk about the Harps UCD game as well, but this is definitely an important one for Shelburne, particularly after, you know, they have such a poor record at home. It's definitely important that they followed that result up, particularly against, you know, a fellow relegation candidate. It was definitely important for them to get the win here and keep them away from that mire below them. I think the way they're going, they do seem to be carving out enough of stuff.
Yeah.
And
give them that bit of breathing room, go into the summer, get them attacking players in that they need, that we've spoken about so much on the show, and they should be fine then for the rest of the year.
They certainly should be, but I think, you know, even if they don't, if they keep kind of plugging away the way they're going, it won't be pretty. But I kind of feel they're gonna stay out of it, because they are turning out these results and doing exactly what they need to do. And that's all you need to be at. You know, at the end of the day, it's important to be beating your relegation rivals when you're down there. And it's these games earlier on in the season that gives you a bit of breathing room come later on. But yeah, look, it was a good goal. It was a good header. I think it was Boyd that got the goal. So the fact that he's actually turning in a few goals late as well is very helpful, but not fantastic defending from Drogheda either. I think Kevin Doherty would be quite disappointed with that goal, simply because there was no pressure on the lad that crossed it in. There was no pressure on Boyd. You know, he could have been on the training pitch with a lot of statues around him. We would have finished it the same way. Like,
they've lost that defensive solidity they had earlier on the season, so that makes this weekend's game against Harps, at home to Harps, absolutely huge for them. But we'll move on. We'll speak Harps and UCD. But you are listening to Series 6, Episode 14 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley live on Twitter Spaces. If you'd like to get involved and have your say on anything League of Ireland related, then hit the request button and do retweet the Twitter space to help it reach far and wide across the League of Ireland community. But Harps 0, UCD 1, and it was your man, Liam Kerrigan, with the winner. And not a Kerrigan sort of goal, was it? A header from inside the box, but a huge, huge goal. Just gives UCD that little bit of hope. But then the news today that really knocked the stuffing out of them, Colly Whelan out for the rest of the season, a really bad injury for him. Look, I know he probably wasn't going to play too many more games in a UCD shirt, but even from a personal point of view for him, you've got to feel really, really disappointed for him.
Oh yeah, and the UCD fans, like, he's been a great servant to UCD in his time there. Scored a bag of goals last year. Scored in the playoff final as well last year to get them into this into the Premier Division. So yeah, look, it's from a player perspective, like, he's such a young hot prospect, let's say, across the league. You know, there was a lot of talk about where he was going to go in the summer, but it's really disappointing to see a young player like that. You know, and he was starting to chip in with a good few goals as well. He scored two against Dundalk as well. So I think, you know, I just wish him the best of luck, because he's definitely one for the future. But unfortunately, we'll just have to wait a bit longer for that to come. But certainly a huge win for UCD, and an extremely, extremely damaging one to Harps. You know, that was their, you know, ace in the hole, that UCD were just worse than them and they were going to keep them out of the automatic relegation spot. I think, though, with the players that UCD would be losing in the summer, you know, now there's only, you know, we were all concerned, not concerned, but we were all expecting Kerrigan and Whelan to move on. Mm. Now Whelan's out of the picture, regardless of what happens. It's just going to be Kerrigan moving on in the summer. But yeah, look, that was a huge win. They played quite well, I think, in the game. But wonderful header. You know, he definitely spotted the keeper off the line, because there's a bit of loop on that header as well. And just sailed into the back of the net. So a very important win for UCD, and kind of puts them back into the mix.
Yeah, and look, just on the two players they're going to lose, they've lost Whelan out through injury, they'll probably lose Kerrigan through a transfer to somewhere else, but I've seen a lot of UCD fans, or the one or two that I follow online anyway, they've been saying there is a good conveyor belt of young players coming through at the moment that might be ready to step into the first team. But look, to step in to the first team when you're in the first division and maybe playing for the playoffs is one thing. Trying to step into a struggling Premier Division team is an entirely different kettle of fish. So look, do you give them any chance of avoiding the automatic relegation spot?
It really depends on how Harps react to this particular result. Like, this is very, very bad at home to UCD. We both called it the other way last week. We thought Harps, they just need to win this game.
A typical 1-0 Harps, what we expected, but
it was 1-0 the other way. I think, you know, Harps have kind of been under the radar this season for, you know, probably abuse that we would be normally dishing out, let's say. But I think, you know, has Ollie Horgan probably played his last trick, you know, in keeping Harps out of relegation.
It's a bit like you touched on with Keith Long, you know, pulling these rabbits out of the hat. And I suppose Ollie Horgan has done that as well, bringing players in from all over the place and keeping them up. But they lost some big, big players, didn't they, in the off-season. And look, he's brought in players that are totally unknown at this level. Some of them have done okay, some of them have probably struggled. But it's, as you said, it's just when you keep going back to that well year after year of trying to replace your best players, you're eventually going to get caught out. I mean, look, I know you don't like bringing other leagues into it when we're discussing League of Ireland, but you look to Burnley in the Premier League, Sean Dyche, everyone said, oh, he'll keep them up. This year, he ran out of road, he got sacked, and now it looks like they're probably going to be relegated. So that's just what happens when you keep trying to pull out miracles every year.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know, there's a sell-by date to that plan. It just really depends on probably the size of the club as well. Like, maybe
I think it kind of links into what you took abuse for this on one of the final pods of last year. You were saying, you know, great achievement, Harps staying up. What's next? What's the ambition here?
The ambition again
was just to stay up, whereas other teams around them then have a bit more ambition and they're looking, right, we finished seventh this year, can we finish fifth next year and push on? Whereas Harps, they know where they're going to be. Look, as you said, that comes down to the size of the club, comes down to budgets and all the rest. But I think what you said at the end of last year, you're kind of been proven right now.
Yeah, look, you know, I may never be always right, but I'm never wrong, as the saying goes. I think with Harps, you know, like, there's a bit of fanfare about what's his name, O'Leary coming in. I think that was an indication for me, based on what we've seen of Bastian Heary last year.
That was trying to perform a real miracle, that one. trying to take in a lad that showed no form for the last number of seasons. Probably hasn't shown form since he was with Linfield. Hasn't shown form in this league since he was with Waterford. So that's a good few years ago now. So you were trying to really...
Yeah, all he had to do two miracles was bring in a player with that reputation and then try and actually get him playing again in a team that, surely to God, And we said it earlier on as well, that a team that just would not suit Bastian Heary's style of play. So, you know, I think, you know, you don't want to see anybody going down. Well, like, I was going to say, you don't see anybody getting relegated, but there's plenty of teams I'd like to see getting relegated, make no mistake. But even just on Hearts, like, there's nearly a sick enjoyment out of them escaping every year. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not sure how long that's going to last. And I think it could be the end of it this season. And then would that, if let's say, just for example, if Harps get relegated this year, is Ollie Horgan going to stay down and start doing that's another slog?
Yeah,
different proportion altogether. Is he going to hang around for that? I'm not sure he is. He's been talking about, you know, packing it in for a couple of years.
I mean, it must take huge amounts out of him. And look, it's incredible what he does. What these players he brings in from abroad, he goes out, he books his own flights out of his own pocket, goes over, watches these players, convinces them to come and play in Finn Park. And I'm sure when the players arrive, they're thinking, Jesus, what have I walked into here? But he manages to convince them, he gets performances out of them, he keeps them in the league.
Yeah.
But that must be incredibly draining year after year.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you then see them players get pickpocketed off, they go elsewhere. And then again, he's booking the Ryanair flights out to God knows where to try and find more players. It must be absolutely draining.
It must be, but that's I'm sure he's aware that's part of the story he's telling. Do you know what I mean? Right, lad, you're out in the Bulgarian second division. No disrespect to that division, but I don't know much about it. So you come over to Ireland, you know, you're at a closer proximity to England. Even the lower leagues in England will be a step up again from anybody in this league, not just Harps. But I think he sells part, it's part of the package. You come over, you play a season with us, you get notice, you get this, you get that, and you can move on. That's part of the package. Like,
I'd say a huge part of attracting players to this league is, look, you do a season with us, you do well, you'll get picked up by one of the bigger clubs in the league. Four teams in this league qualify for Europe out of 10. So
you're really in the shop window.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's definitely, you know, good parts to it and all. So I'm not sure. I don't think Ollie would be that perturbed about losing players, because that's part of the package, as I said. But I think, you know, you can only do that so many times. Probably could COVID have impacted him in the off season? I know there was not as many travel restrictions, but you know, I'm guessing obviously here, but I'd say the man is just a tired man.
Yeah,
make no mistake about it, you know, and he's worn out. Now, I'm not making any comment on him or whether he should quit or not anything like that. I'm just saying that come the end of the season, after the slog of the last few years, you know, staying up on, you know, taking the last few games to eventually stay up each year, and then next, you know, let's say they do get relegated, come the end of the season, will Ollie be mad about rebuilding a team probably entirely and then going down to hopefully not Longford next season, but you know, possibly we'll say the like of Athlone, maybe Cove, that would probably be in the division next year. I'm not sure how excited I'd be about that.
Yeah, we'll move on. One more Premier Division game to touch on, then we'll get stuck into the First Division games from the weekend. But listeners, if you have anything to say, then I do hit the request button. But I think this was probably a predictable enough result, Gary. If there ever was going to be a 1-1 draw, it was going to be Sligo and Pats down in the showgrounds.
Yeah, probably. I don't even know how to describe this.
Just two teams not doing enough this season. I think that's the best way to sum it up.
I think that's a great way of summing it up. I think, you know, an all right result for Pats going down to Sligo, but as we've highlighted numerous times, Sligo are just not at the races at all this season, and particularly their home form hasn't been fantastic. I think they've only won maybe two or three games at home so far this season. They've picked up a good few draws, and that's another one into that bracket on their table for the season. I don't really see, you know, what the rest of the season holds for Sligo. I think at this particular point, would they be happy enough with fifth come the end of the season? where they are at the minute.
It'll be interesting to see what the club's perspective is if the top three and even the top four do start to maybe start getting away from them. What decision might come there? Because as we said on the pod last week, they finished third last season, fell into that third spot, really clung onto it towards the end of the year. So I said it, there's been commentators in this league saying, you know, people have to stop expecting Sligo to challenge for the title. Nobody on this show, I don't think anybody expected Sligo to challenge. Even we were very consistent on that, even after they had the great start. We weren't having it. We were saying, nope, they won't be anywhere near the top two. They've fallen away a lot quicker than we expected. But their goal at the start of the year would have been, you have to finish in the top four again and hope that's enough for Europe, maybe get a cup run as well. If they start falling away from those top four positions and fans aren't happy with the style of football and all the rest, it'd be interesting to see what happens there.
It will. You know, I think what really it boils down to is what the aspirations for the club are, as you said at the start of that.
Yeah.
You know, what are they looking for out of the team, out of the investment that they're making? You know, Sligo are probably one of the best funded teams from fundraising in the community, and that's a brilliant thing. But they don't seem to be making as good a use of that, of those finances, than probably what they should be.
Again, look, it's tougher for them to attract players to Sligo than it is for the Dublin clubs. We know that, but the way they bowed out of Europe last year as well, I think that's going to be a big thing. They're going to want to see an improvement. Okay, if you draw a big gun and you go out, that's fair enough. But if they get a team like they did last year and they just fold like deck chairs again, I think you're going to be half saying, come on, what's going on here?
You certainly do, but when is that coming? Do you know what I mean? Like, I think, you know, I think we people weren't overly delighted with us talking about Liam Buckley last season. But I think the only teams that bet last, you know, are not the only teams, but I think a big part of their winning after the mid-season break was beating Longford home and away. Wow. Great. Who cares? You know, Longford were, you know, bet from earlier, much earlier on in that season. So, you know, that's nothing to get overly excited about. So now we're looking at, you know, what way are the club and the fans, like, how are they genuinely feeling about Liam Buckley? You know, if this kind of mediocre run ends up with them finishing in the mediocre spots in the table, mid-table, not really challenging for Europe. Maybe they'll get pipped by balls.
The football's, you know, not great to watch as well, which doesn't help.
And the football's not great either. And, you know, that's all very tiring stuff. And they probably look at it and go, could we get a young, maybe, no disrespect to Liam Buckley, he's an incredibly successful manager, but maybe do we want to change completely? I don't know what that change looks like. I don't know who that might be, but I don't know. I'd say that'd be tiring enough from a Sligo Rovers fan perspective. But look, for Pats, it's a decent result on the road. They'll be happy enough with that. I think one draw.
It's more the same. It's really more the same from Pats, really, from us, from our point of view, isn't it? Like, it's a decent result. They're not going to be anywhere near the top two. They'll probably be in the top four. Some decent young players. Burns scores here. They've got young Sam Curtis there that's getting rave reviews as well. But they're just not going to be consistent enough, and they're not scoring enough goals. They're not getting enough out of the likes of Doyle there. So it's a frustrating season for Pats, even though this is, as you said, a semi-decent result, but there's still that frustration there about them. We will move on to the First Division games, and I've seen a Galway fan or two tuning in there, so they might have something to say on this, but it was Wexford 0, Galway 4, and Walshy with a couple of goals as well. And look, I know we've had a bit of a jibe here and there, but oh Jesus, John Caulfield being the centre forward up front. You have to give Walsh unbelievable credit for what he's doing this season. We're going to let a Pat speaker in a second, by the way, but just give us your thoughts on that first, Gary, on Galway.
Yeah, like, who cares who's getting the goals from a Galway perspective? We you know, took the piss out of it a bit, you know, and we were kind of, and it wasn't adding to Stephen Walsh either or any of the playing staff. We were just like, well, John Caulfield kind of set his stall out early on this season. Let's launch off the big lad. But he's actually banging in goals. And
yeah, and great finishes.
Take it away from, great finishes as well. So, look, if it works, like, if you told me that...
Is he on double figures now? Is he on 10?
No, he's not. I'm just looking at it here. He's on 8. Patterson's on 9. So
right, still a great return for a lad that was playing centre half last season.
Oh yeah, and has played centre half for a few clubs. But look, he's doing what he needs to do. He's getting the goals, and you know, a great win for Galway. You know, that's a tricky place to go down at any time, but.
Was that late defeat that Wexford suffered the week before against Longford? Do you think that's been quite damaging to their morale because they've taken the right pumping here?
You know, I'm not sure. You know, we, John was.
I think it was even notable after the late goal they conceded against Longford. Ian Ryan, you know, he was absolutely sick as a pig. He sat in the dugout by himself for a good 10 or 15 minutes after the game. He was hurting.
Yeah, well, you're going to. You know, that is, you put in a really good performance. You know, there were a wonderful free kick to start off the game, so you couldn't have asked for a better start. But Longford kind of kept plugging away. That should have scored earlier on in that game. But I think when you get out of those situations and you get it down to the last kick of the game almost, you think you're safe. But Sam Verdon got his nut on it and buried a header in at the near post. So I think I'm not sure if that would be damaging. Like, it is souring, but I don't think you're going to capitulate the following week based on that. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think this is just part of Wexford's, you know, change in style of play, and, you know, they have a lot of new players in. It's going to be tough going for a while.
They're away to Cork next to Turner's Cross. That's not going to be pretty.
It probably won't be pretty, but I think with Galway, you know, themselves and Cork are 10 points clear or 9 points clear of Waterford, 10 ahead of Longford. You know, it's going to be down between the two of them. And I think there's an element of, we need to start going at this every single game, because Cork are going to be doing the same. It's only separated on goal difference now. Any slip-ups are going to be punished by the other team, it would appear. So
I think they're playing each other in a couple of weeks. I think it's not the next round of fixtures, but the one after, I think, is Cork against Galway or Galway against Cork. So it's going to start getting tasty, as you said. Look, we're going to let Thomas in. Thomas was on the show with us last week talking Pats and had a really good call. So, Thomas, if you want to unmute, but for anyone that has just joined us, you're listening to Series 6, Episode 14 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. We're live on Twitter Spaces tonight. So if you've got anything to say on a League of Ireland related matter, hit the request button and we will get you in. And if you give the Twitter Space a retweet as well, that would be fantastic. But we'll let Thomas in first, and then I think we have another caller waiting. So just hang on there, folks, and we'll let you in one by one. But Thomas, go ahead, welcome along tonight, great to have you.
How's it going, lads? Thanks for having me again. Can you hear me there? Sorry.
Yeah, we can hear you, Thomas.
Oh yeah. Just I think most talking about Pats and Sligo there, I think Kieran, you hit the nail on the head there when you were talking about the team, both teams being frustrating and frustrated, both sets of fans really being frustrated. Like, it's a good point for Pats on the road, like it really is. But if you look at it from a stats point of view, you know, Sligo had more shots on target than Pats, did more shots in total than Pats. They were, even despite having less possession. So it kind of does really sum up where I think Pats have kind of bounced back, so to speak, from the Derry game. Like, I came on and said that the 4-0 would be huge, huge. Pivotal moment in Pats' season, and then great response up in Drogheda, and then we went up to Derry, and I think Kieran, you said it yourself, it was game plan one was don't lose 4-0 and see if we can nick something, and that's exactly what they did. And look, they nearly nicked the game at the end, and you know, that is frustrating to, as a fan, you know, it is frustrating. We kind of just have to accept that we're not the team we were last year. Big positives out of the Sligo game, I think, from the obvious one, I think, from myself is Sam Curtis. I think he's just got into the squad and he's kind of made that position his own now, you know. And I think for the age that he is, he just does not look anywhere, you know, anywhere.
Doesn't look out of place.
Doesn't look out of place, yeah. And it's great to see him and Ben McCormick be like that, young lads, and their back four is quite young as well. Yeah, Liam, they talked about, just I'd pick up a point there on the Liam Buckley thing, like, as a Pats fan, you know, like, massive respect for him and all he did for the club, but obviously Pats came to frustrations with him and he saw the door. And then, you know, we had what, Ger O'Brien in as a caretaker manager, had Harry Kenny, he lasted the year. So there's a lot of things, there's a lot of stability I think Liam Buckley brings to a club just because of the experience he does have in the league. So if Sligo are thinking about making moves, I think that'd probably be not a great part on the club, you know, because you look at their players at the moment, like Aidan Keane, if he keeps hitting form and keeps scoring goals, probably won't be there next season. Ed McGinty, who I highly, highly rate as a goalkeeper, I don't think he'd be there. I think Rovers would be looking at him as a replacement for Manus or any of the top clubs.
Do you think, yeah, Thomas...
No, sorry. Yeah.
Do you see any many similarities between, like, coming up to the end of Liam Buckley's time with Pats and his time at Sligo right now?
That's a good question.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why I would err on the side of caution of Sligo Rovers. Like, as you said, like, they have a fantastic setup, fantastic community support, a great stadium.
It's brilliant.
The pitch is not great, but the stadium itself is a good for League of Ireland, like, standard. So if they're going to rock the boat, they just have to realise that then it does come with, like, I think we got Ger O'Brien in and he only lasted for about a month and he was a caretaker. Then Harry Kenny came in and we finished fifth, which was, by all accounts, a bit of a miracle. And then Steve
There was big investment for Harry, wasn't there, as well?
Huge, absolutely huge. It was a save our season type thing. You know, it was, right, let's throw money at this, see what sticks. And then we went through a mad period. Like, you know, we brought Georgie Kelly in and he didn't do anything at Pats. And then he went on to become, he was player of the year at Bowes. You know, so rocking the boat from a managerial perspective, when you have someone like Elaine Buckley, even if the results aren't going your way, you just have to kind of be, I think, a bit realistic. Like Kieran, you said as well, you know, people have to stop, you know, challenging for, or saying Sligo are up there. Absolutely no one is saying that. But that type of mentality, if you hear it enough at a board level, it can seep in. Mm. And then you start making stupid decisions. But yeah, I see a lot of similarities between this Bucko's end of run in Pats and the end of run here in Sligo. And it's a big, big decision Sligo have to make, but I do think it would be the wrong one to get rid of him.
Interesting stuff. Thomas, thanks a million for the call. We're going to let Colm on next. Colm's a Bulls fan. Colm, if you want to hit on mute.
How's it going, lads? Can you hear me?
Yeah, good to hear you, Colm. Welcome along.
Thanks very much. I missed the very start because I was playing football myself, but I heard you talking about the Bulls fans up in Dundalk, and you know, I really agree with everything that you were saying. It was really disappointing. I was up there myself, and you know, when we made such a big deal of all the stuff going on in the Rovers game, you know, I was just like, we shouldn't be making such a big deal, because one, we've previously thrown stuff on the pitch before, but you could just see it happening again this season, the way things have kind of gone. Also, you know, you made the point about, you were talking about Robbie Benson celebrating in front of the Buzz fans. And yeah, all right, fine. He did a fist pump in front of the Buzz fans. But, like, that's part of the game, isn't it? Like, I feel like if I was a professional footballer, I'd be celebrating in front of the away fans every opportunity I got. Like, you know? It's all about winding up people. And, like, you have to... Yeah, okay, you can, you know...
That's part of the crack.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bit of crack. Exactly. That's what it's all about. And yeah, it's annoying when you're on the receiving end of it. But, you know, like, Robbie Benson's probably got a lot of abuse off those fans for years. Like, so, fair enough. But in relation to the performance, I thought it's kind of been like our season. You know, we started very well. We were very impressed in the first half. Attack really good. First goal we conceded, just poor defending, you know, and we've seen that all season. It's been a weak point. I think we've really missed, and I'm not saying anything original here, we're really missing Keith Buckley. And he's one of those, I think every season you always hear at the start of the season, you know, someone comes in and you think Bucko's going to drop out or whatever. But then you really see when he's gone, you really see what we were missing. I think he's been a really big loss. You know, I think we've really missed him organising midfield. I think Dawson Devoy, people have been talking about him having a poor season. I think he's actually probably had a better season than people are saying. You know, he's shown flashes of real quality. We all know he's an absolute quality player. But I think having, like, you know, someone like Bucco talking beside him probably added a lot to his game. And, you know, we're just conceding sloppy goals. I thought the second goal they scored was just a great bat. I think it was the second goal that Wardy played the ball through. You know, it was a great ball. But, you know, it's been a difficult season. But at the same time, we're only 6 points off Europe, I think. So, well, fourth. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom, but it does feel a bit that way.
Where do you stand on the Keith Long question?
I've talked to Gary about this offline. My personal view is I would 100% give him the season. I think he's earned that. Particularly, he's earned another window. Hopefully, we get a couple of bodies in the summer. And a bit like, you know, the last caller was talking about, you know, Liam Buckley leaving Pats. Is there anyone who stands out who you think, you know, oh, if Keith Long goes in, who do Bowes get in, you know? And I don't know
that's a question.
It would make a huge difference to our season. And, you know, like none of the teams, bar Derry and Rovers, have really put any run together at all, you know? You win three games and suddenly Bowes would be third. So, and now, to be fair, Bowes haven't looked like winning three games. I don't think we've won two games in a row this season. So, you know, maybe that's wishful thinking on my part, being like, you know, ever the optimist or whatever. But I definitely wouldn't be in the Keith Long out. But I suppose at the same time, I really don't think the club are going to make that call. I don't think it looks like that, even though there's a lot of unhappy fans. But I think if that call was made and you know, it was time for him to go, I don't think I could complain a huge amount. It's just, you know, it's just the atmosphere at games is a bit stale. I don't think that's necessarily Keith Long's fault, but, like, you know, we're throwing away sloppy lead goals, giving away leads at the end of games, left, right and centre. So, you know, I can understand why people are of that view. I just think it would be a mistake to do that.
Look, we could probably talk all night about Bowes, Gary, because obviously we haven't even touched on the news. It looks like Shells will be staying at Talca Park. Dalymount will be redeveloped kind of in its current state.
Extent.
Yeah, so the thing is they're not going to have to move out of Dalymount. They've kind of been planning for that and saving for that. A couple of seasons playing away from Dalymount. So again, it begs the question, is there an opportunity for them to go full-time there? But look, we could speak about Bowes all night. But Colm, that was a great call. Thanks a million for coming on.
Cheers
Colm.
So we'll get back to the first division games, but listeners, do feel free to get involved. Two great callers there, Thomas and Colm, over the last couple of minutes. We'll fly through these guys and we'll be here all night. Waterford 4, Cove 2. Again, you know, Cove showing they've got a bit about them, but they're just not able to get the results out there at the minute. Larkin put them ahead after 3 minutes. Patterson equalised after 34. 3 minutes later, Cove were back in front, 2-1 up. It was a goal on 37. And then a man that we haven't spoken about a lot over the last couple of years, but when Fitzy used to be on the pod every so often, this was a man who used to rave about at Waterford. Did he have a brief spell of Harps as well? Sobowale, he got a couple of goals. And Stringer got a goal as well. Good to see him getting a goal, actually, because first time I seen him was last year in Longford. He came on as a sub. He made a mistake, cost him a goal, whipped off about 30 seconds later. And I was like, geez, we'll never see that boy playing in the league again. But he's still knocking about and he got a big goal here. So a 4-2 win for Waterford. Not overly convincing, but look, as we said, from a Cove point of view, they're putting in good performances, but unfortunately they just probably don't have that experience just to see out games.
Yeah, I think you were getting another digging there this week online about,
oh, when am I not?
Yeah, well, if you stop talking so much shite, you might get a break. But no, definitely, I don't know. I think you know, we'd agree that Longford are probably one of the better ball playing sides in the league. But as someone made the point, they're 10 points off the top of the first division table. Even though they probably played better football last night in Treaty, they probably didn't carve out enough real gilt edge chances, as the saying goes. And, you know, they made, you know, even just, I know we're skipping on to Longford, but I just want to make the point about Cove. We thought they played all right football up in Longford.
Yeah,
that they weren't as bad as the table shows. I certainly probably have to go back and question myself anyway about this, because at the end of the day, Waterford are, you know, they're not only 9 points behind, they're only a point ahead of Longford, but they're not playing great football. I would say that had a big impact on Ian Morris getting the door down there, and that was a lot of fan disgust, you know, after Longford conceded the late equaliser down in the RSC. There was every single Waterford fan were saying that they didn't deserve, I was talking to three or four of them when I was packing up, didn't deserve that result. Longford Town playing the best football they've seen all season. Cove are playing nice football, but they're probably naive, they're not experienced enough, and the players that they have, while they're playing good football, they're probably just maybe a tiny bit away from this level. And to go
with some,
2-0,
with some of them,
2-1.
they've got a couple of nice little gems there. But we said the same about Lowe, and I think you throw them into the same type of bracket as well. They played lovely football when they came to Longford, but when they conceded a goal, and I actually thought the game on Friday, which we'll get to in a second, was very similar. At Lowe started the game well. As soon as they conceded, they totally lost all shape. They looked like they have some really good individual players, but they just looked like a really badly drilled team. Which is, I find it amazing they still haven't got a manager in place down there. Because if you got a good manager in there, it could get a shape on that team. I actually think they could be a lot more competitive than they are at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be as far away as they are.
No.
But I think Cove and Wexford as well, the three teams at the bottom, they're not playing bad football. They're not, you know, hoofing it. And we were complaining that even though Galway are second, they're playing woeful stuff. Yeah, they won 4-0 the other day. I know Stephen Walsh scoring the goals, but it doesn't really matter at this point. You have to get out of the division. That's the goal. That's what we're all looking at. You know what I mean? It's pointless us saying, oh, Longford Town playing beautiful football fourth. Do you know what I mean? That's not really good. And from a Cove perspective, I'm not sure. Will they have to be playing a bit more industrial style football, trying to make it more difficult for teams to play against them? You know, they've been on the receiving end of a couple of heavy beatings this season. Here's some, you know, with all the promise of going in at the break 2-1 ahead, I'm not even sure if when I looked at the live score, I wasn't really sure. I was really just questioning how long would it take for Waterford to equalise and bag in another couple on top of it. And that's exactly what they did. But I'm not really sure where it goes for the teams at the bottom, because... Oh, and certainly on a personal, I'm not sure where it goes for me, because I'm questioning the quality of football and the style of play from teams above Longford in particular in the league. They're playing poorer football, in my opinion, a poor style of play, but they're at the top. I'm complimenting Cove, Wexford and Waterford at the bottom playing better football, in my opinion, and getting hockeyed.
Yeah, but there's a naivety to them teams, as we said. I think Longford's biggest issue is I just don't think they have a raw, genuine goal scorer front. I think Sam Verdon's been working his bollocks off all season, particularly in the game at Athlone the other night, and you feel sorry for him at times because he's just running himself into the ground and he's not getting the rewards. But I think they're really lacking that real killer. I think Joe Doyle, I seen signs for him last night that he maybe can get a couple of goals, and he has got goal at this level. But you look at Galway, they've thrown Walsh up there and he's banging them in, but they have other good striking options as well. You look at Cork, they brought Keaton in, you know, that was a big investment for them, and some of the players they brought in on loan. Great news from today, it's Healy that he's staying now for the season, because we were talking about that in the car on the way home last night. We were saying only thing about Cork that could derail them is some of them loan boys end up going back, but it looks like they're going to keep them, so I'd still fancy them for the title. But you know, they've got them players that can stick the ball in the net, and I think Longford are just lacking that at the moment. But we've got another caller that wants to have a say, and that's Luke McQuillan from the Drogheda media team. Of course, he's joined us on many a pod down the years, so Luke, if you want to unmute.
How are you, lads? How are you?
Hi, Luke. All right, Luke, good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
To be honest, it's been a bit of a disappointing few weeks, definitely for Drogheda anyways. It's not going well at the minute.
And do you see them avoiding that relegation playoff spot, or how do you feel at the minute?
Oh, it's obviously a difficult one. It's hard to tell really, because obviously we've had, you know, we went them 6 games unbeaten, and then we've got 4 on the bounce of losses, which is obviously very disappointing. And you know, I think we're lacking something going forward. I don't know what it is. You know, I think we missed the likes of Foley and Markey big time. So hopefully,
Markey,
you know,
in particular, I've noticed that I've obviously been at a lot of Drogheda games. Markey, the recreative spark in that midfield. Oh, 100%. Like, you know, Markie, even last season, like, he was one of our best players, and I was surprised at the end of the season that we held on to him. But then to get that bad injury, you know what I mean, was obviously not good for us. But, you know, we went down 6 games unbeaten, and then obviously, like, to go 4 on the bounce and the performances in them games have really not been to a good standard, which is disappointing as well, you know.
And how do you think the new management team's doing there?
Yeah, no, I can't blame the management at all. Like, you know, it's been difficult with injuries and that, and you know that they've been putting in an awful lot, which is clear to see even in them 6 games unbeaten. You know, we were grinding out the results, and you have to do that. You know, I mean, it's easy to forget. You know, that the players we lost at the end of the season and the whole nearly like a back five gone out of a six, you know, that type of way as well. So it's always going to be tough to, you know, replace that. And I think they've done well to this point, and you know, hopefully they can get out of this tough patch at the minute, because you know, they're two excellent people, like, you know.
And finally, a huge game coming up for you Friday, at home to Harps. How do you see that one playing out?
Yeah, it's a 6-pointer, really, you know, for us. I think, you know, we win, we got 6 points clear. If in Harps, be a big result to get a win, home crowd, you know what I mean, get a bit of a confidence going then, because we still have some tough games after that. So yeah, hopefully hoping for a good result and a good performance as well.
Christoph, Luke, thanks for coming on.
Lads, thanks for having me.
Everyone, you're listening to Between the Stripes LOI Podcast, Series 6, Episode 14. We're live on Twitter Spaces tonight, so do hit the request button if you want to get involved. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley here. Gary, let's fly through the rest of these First Division games. Treaty 2, Bray 2. You there, guys?
Yeah, here, yeah, sorry. I think...
Curran on the score sheet here. He always seems to miss the games against Longford. He must be running scared of the BTS boys.
yeah, well, would have been good to see him last night, all right. But yeah, look, I think they'll be disappointed with this, you know, home result. You know, home draw against Bray is not very helpful for them. You know, they'll probably get into the promotion relegation playoff, but at the same time, Wexford are still sniffing. If they, you know, if they get a couple of runs going, similar to what Colm said about Bowes, you know, three wins for them on the bounce, despite with their probable inability to do so, they'd be close enough. So similar with Wexford, they get a few wins on the board, you know, Treaty would be looking over their shoulders. But I think this is quite disappointing, you know, particularly with Bray scoring so few goals this season. I think they're the lowest scorers in the league so far. To get to concede 2 at home,
it's amazing with Bray, so poor of a season on and off the pitch, that they're still not losing a huge amount of games. They seem to be just picking up these draws every week. And how many points?
You said that
playoff?
Last night.
Maybe 6 points off the playoffs, are they, or so?
In and around that. Yeah, I think they played more games than everybody.
I mean, if
else.
They could just sort things out there, then you know they wouldn't be that far away.
Yeah, you know, there's still a lot of 6 games, but I think you said it in the car on the way home last night that you were wishing Bray just were losing more games, because they do seem to be grinding out a good few draws, which is good for them that they're not losing as many games. But I think in this game in particular, Treaty will be kicking themselves that they didn't just sew that game up. They only conceded a goal with... conceded an equaliser about 5 minutes left. You know, that's not very helpful at all. But look, that's kind of the way, you know, particularly Bray's season is going, that they kind of dig out results or draws. You know, Longford Town only bet them down in the Carlisle grounds last kick of the game. You know, they're always somehow around where they need to be come towards the end of games to be able to nick a point here and there, which they have been doing so far this season. So I think it's a damaging enough result for Treaty, and kind of keeps them at the lower end of that promotion playoff position.
Yeah. We'll go a bit deeper on Treaty now. We're going to round off the First Division chat here. The Midlands Derby with Friday, it's kind of old news by now. At Lone 1, Longford 2. At Lone took the lead. Longford such a slow start to this game. They deserve to be behind. Barnes with a good finish. Carl Chambers, bit of a fortuitous cross that floated in over the keeper's head. But Chambers, I thought, has been a really impressive performer over the last few weeks. I was surprised he didn't start last night. Ryan Graydon, then, that was a nice work team goal, but Athlone lost all of their shape, really, as we said. Once they conceded that equaliser, they kind of just lost their way. And Dobbins was sent off late on. But despite that, Athlone finished the game quite strongly, and Thomas Alua hit the post, and Longford were clinging on towards the end. I thought it was one of Longford's poorer performances this season. But they rolled down then to Limerick last night. Thankfully, we had a game of football this time.
And the pitch was in good nick, to be fair to them.
Best pitch I've seen this season. It's in great nick down there. But it's a pretty treat you didn't use
There isn't that much football being played on it.
That's what I was just going to say. Very, very small crowd there last night. And you just have to wonder, that style of football wouldn't really encourage me out on a cold night now. I suppose we're going back around in circles here. The argument again, there's different ways to play. It's about putting the ball in the net. Neither team managed that last night, unfortunately. So two trips down to Treaty this season. We haven't seen a goal yet. But look, I thought it was Longford trying to play the football last night. Treaty were very, very agricultural in their approach. I thought they were living for set pieces, really, and long throw-ins. That was their biggest route into the game.
I don't disagree with that. I think maybe if Treaty had won that game on Friday against Bray, they might have been a bit more adventurous against Longford last night. I think the problem with Longford is, and that's been highlighted before, probably one of the teams with the highest amount of possession per game across the division, but just not at enough going forward. And I think, you know, there's a couple of... I don't think it's from lack of effort. You know, there's a couple of town players that could do with a right good boot in the hole. From both Friday and last night, were very frustrating stuff. I nearly went. I felt like going down last night and doing it myself. But I think the players, and this is maybe across the team, I'm not sure if anyone at Longford Man might agree with me, but I think there might be a bit more frustration in the team when they're having the lion's share possession and maybe some of the passes aren't coming off, the passes aren't being passed at the right time, they're not being released at the right time.
We spoke to Gary Cronin after the game last night. He admitted himself that maybe one thing they have to tweak a little bit is they have a lot of possession, but at times they're overplaying across the back four. And that can skew this possession stats at times. You can have very high possession stats, but how much of that is in the opposition third? So that's something they need to work on. But look, we're probably going around all ground here, really. But I was quite surprised. Treaty, when they came to Longford, you know, they had the right, they're away from home. I thought they were well set up defensively, had a couple of good counter-attacking moments and probably should have scored a couple of goals. Draw was probably a fair result. Thought last night I was expecting them at home to have a bit more of a go, and they didn't. And I was very, very disappointed by that because they were playing on a carpet of a pitch, and she said they didn't really use it. But look, disappointing night for both teams there.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think Treaty, you know, because of where they are, and they're still a few points off Longford in the position above them. So I wouldn't be too hard on Treaty trying to say that. Like, yes, I definitely believe that they played the lesser of the football on show last night, but I think they were comfortable enough at the same time. I don't think Longford did enough to cause Jack Brady too many problems. Like, we were chatting Jack last night, and he only had a couple of saves to make, and so did Luke Dennison had a couple of saves to make as well, both from decent chances. I know probably the other outlier was maybe Shane Elberty. Hitting the crossbar. And then on the other hand, Matthew Dunn for Longford could have been shown the line as well in the first half. So I think it was probably an even enough game. I think with Longford hats on, we're probably being not kinder to Longford than maybe what they deserve. I think Joe Doyle getting him in is a good boost. And once he gets properly fit and he gets a run of games, I think it might be an idea.
Sam's better deep. I think we've said it already.
100%. I think
far
he knows
more effective.
Yeah, he's very good in that position. And I think if Joe Doyle gets singing, and maybe McGurrison as well, get both of them get fully fit, I think we're looking at a different team. I think definitely, I know it's not, you know, you're going to suffer injuries throughout the season. I think Darren Craven has been a huge, huge, huge loss for Longford Town. And I don't think we've said it probably enough of times. He's been a big loss for the town since he got injured. So I think Sam dropping into that position and maybe Joe Doyle coming in as a striker or whatever might be a good move for the town. But don't worry, Gary, we'll be telling you all about it on Saturday afternoon before the game.
Anyway, we'll move on before the listeners get sick of hearing about Longford Town. But you are listening to Series 6, Episode 14 of Between the Stripes LOI Podcast. We're live on Twitter Spaces, so if you'd like to get involved, hit the request button and you can come on and have your say. But this is the most fun part of the show. We actually had a couple of Treaty fans last night coming up to us after the game, didn't they, saying they really love the pod, listen every week, and there was a bit of jibing about the Predictions League as well. So this is, I think, the most popular part.
Oh, and the fact that you can't count. I think so. Someone definitely mentioned that.
But I think this is the most popular part of the show by far. So we'll get stuck into it, and we'll start with the First Division games coming up this weekend. Cork against Wexford. Yeah. Give us your prediction there.
I think Cork are just going to keep on taking 3-0 Cork. Can't see anything else, and I'm afraid. I think with Wexford, probably trying to play a nice football, but again, bit of naivety. I think they're just going to be in for a very, very, very long night in Turner's Cross.
Yeah, you're going 3-0. So no point in me following you there. I'm going to go 4-0. I think at Turner's Cross, they might just be powering here against a Wexford team that have been leaking goals all season and are looking a little bit devoid of confidence in the moment. So I'll go 4-0 Cork. Before we go into Treaty and Cove, I should mention as well, we actually had a decent week last week, Gary. I was just counting them up before the show. You outpointed me by 1 point. You got 14 points. I got 13. So that was a good showing from the two of us last week. Jason, I know you're listening in, and fair play, he took time to send in the voice note. I haven't just had time to tot yours up yet, Jason, but I will, and I'll update the league table. But good predictions all around last week.
I got a point more than you. So that probably means you add an extra 5 onto your points total, is it, or something?
Let's hear your thoughts on Treaty against Cove.
I think back to winning ways for Treaty, did a couple of draws. I know the game against Longford was a refixed game from earlier in the season, but that Bray result, I think, is particularly souring from a Treaty perspective. So I think they're going to have to go all out here and get the win. I'm going to go 2-1. Yeah, 2-1 Treaty.
2-1 to Treaty. Yeah, it's a difficult one to call, isn't it? I suppose the one thing about Treaty, we mightn't have been overly impressed with their attacking football, but they are still an organised side.
Very well drilled, yeah.
Well drilled, whereas Cove, if they do concede one, as we said, they can be a bit like Atlow, and the floodgates can just open. They lose their shape for 5 or 10 minutes, and it's those 5 or 10 minutes, like we saw towards the end of the Waterford game, where you will concede the goals. So I think I'm going to probably follow you. 2-1 might be a bit high scoring for this, but then Cove have been involved in a few belters this season. Go on. I'll follow you there. I'll go 2-1 to Treaty. We'll move on. Galway against Athlone. It's a bit of a local derby, but I have to say it was disappointing, wasn't it? We mentioned the Treaty crowd last night. It was disappointing, but hopefully that was just the fact it was a Monday night. But the crowd for the derby again, Longford brought the vast majority of the supporters over to Athlone. It's very disappointing to see Athlone still struggling to get people through the gate when other clubs are experiencing big surges. We've mentioned at Cove, you know, despite the difficult season they're having, they're 100% up on last season. I think Fitzy pointed it out in the car last night that we were, as away fans, are a bit disappointed to see them move their games from Saturday night to Friday night, but it's obviously had a big impact on their attendances. So they've taken a decision there and it's worked out. And unfortunately, just at that low, and whatever's going on there at the club or behind the scenes, they just don't seem to be capturing the imagination. Now obviously on-field results aren't helping, but it's disappointing for a local derby that they can't even seem to muster a few hundred in the gate.
Yeah, I think that's just probably, you know, they went at it a particular way last season, didn't work out, and now they went at it a different way this season, it's not working out, and also they still have no manager, and they don't look, I think what's your man's name, Al Shepherd? And Kilduff were on about again today on some other podcast. I can't believe there's another League of Ireland podcast that people listen to, but there you go. Certainly, that'll be an interesting one. Like, what have I learned to lose, though, by going down this road? Probably not much. Give him a go. Why not? Can't be any worse than what's going on this season. And
I think, as I said earlier in the show, what they need is an experienced manager that'll go in and just get them well organised and well drilled. Because
sure, what was Martin Russell at?
Jason, that's listening or was listening a few minutes ago, he's told us about Martin Russell. We know we've been looking at Martin Russell for years. Lovely man, teams play nice football, but they were always extremely naive at the back.
Mm.
And that's exactly what Athlone were up until he was moved on, and they've continued to be that this season. So they need someone to go in there and drill them. But the problem is, they're not going to be able to attract a manager like that down to Athlone in the current climate.
Yeah, I think so. I think Anthony Quinn here, great stream again on Friday. I do want to highlight again. Had a good little route around your...
Sure. I was looking around for a kickoff. I said, where is Gary? I said, definitely rooting at a few wires up there or something.
Yeah, exactly. any other media outlet could definitely learn from Anthony Stream. It's a really good production, and... you know, he's good volunteers in the team as well, which certainly helps. So thankfully I got to go to the game. But I think it'd be interesting to hear. I know there's not that many Athlone fans either at the game and probably not listening here, Barry Anthony, but is there any talk about the current manager? Like, he's actually, you know, I know he's in a caretaker role, but like, is there any, you know, they're not getting bit asunder completely since he's come in.
There's been
in,
no improvement from the Russell spell, though. No improvement. It's the exact
same. But they're not getting killed, like.
They weren't really getting killed under Russell either.
Mm.
They were playing good football. They're just, as we said, they were naive, and they're still naive.
I suppose, yeah. A point to get at home against Cork would have been huge for everybody else in the league as well. But, yeah, fair enough. That's I'll take your point on that.
Give us your prediction on Galway at loan, then.
4-0 Galway.
No, I'm not going to go as harsh. I'll go 2-0. Longford against Waterford. This will be an interesting one.
Yeah, tough one here. I think there's been a good... You know, there's been a lot of games since we were down in the RSC. Morris is gone. They've been...
A bit more free-flowing. Patterson scoring goals.
Yeah, and he's having a great time doing it. He's top scorer in the league at the minute.
Mm.
And he's Stephen Walsh up his ass in it with 8 goals. Yeah, look, I think so. Ever since that they've won every game, I think, since Ian Morris has left. So I'm not going to go for a win here. I won't do that. But I think a 1-1 draw here for Longford. But I think it's going to be a tough night for Longford.
I think it'll be a draw.
It's not going to be the same. Like, Longford, while people might take the piss out of us saying Longford the best footballing team in the league, if you watch back that Waterford game, 100% they were the better team by a mile. Make no mistake about it. I'd challenge anybody on that. But I think so much has changed for Waterford since that time that they're going to be a different kettle of fish.
It'll be interesting to see how ambitious Waterford are coming away from home down to a team that gave them a good fright earlier on the season. It'll be interesting to see what way Waterford set up. Be interesting to see what way Longford set up. So, interesting game. I think they might cancel each other out. I'll go a draw. But that'll just be music to the ears of Cork and Galway. Maybe they might be worrying that much about Longford because they've beaten Longford quite handily over the last few weeks. But I think there's this feeling around Waterford that if they can get their house in order, they could finish strong and maybe get themselves in the mix. So if Longford and Waterford slice each other's throat here and get a point and the two other teams get wins over the weekend and kick on, then that's great for them. So I'm going to go for a draw on that one. Let's get stuck into the Premier Division games. And just to note, UCD against Rovers actually takes place on Thursday night. So you'll probably get to this one on Thursday, and then you'll probably get to a game Friday as well, Gary. But UCD against Rovers, UCD, that great result against Harps, but then the devastating blow losing Colly Whelan.
Yeah, that win came at a big price, didn't it?
Mm.
You know, it's disappointing. Like, I live very close to UCD, so I can go to their games quite handily. And I won't see Colly Whelan there, because in particular, I thought he was exceptional against Dundalk. He was running rings around these players. And I think he was really getting into it. So it's very, very disappointing that he suffered an injury to that extent. So, as we said, best wishes to him. But definitely, look, you can't see that now. I think Shamrock Rovers going to... I don't think they're going to just murder them either, are they?
No, my prediction here is 2-0 to Shamrock Rovers.
I'm going to go 3-0.
Okay. We just had a comment in there from KSC Media, James O'Toole. He said, speaking of streams, lads, the Derry one has been shocking over the last two games. Bloody awful hard to watch. I actually purchased the Derry stream for the game on the Monday against Pats, and I enjoyed the commentary, actually. Look, they're a bit biased, but you kind of get that with most clubs, but I thought they were okay to listen to. I thought the camera work felt like it was on a boat at times. I nearly had to take a few old vertical tablets or something. I thought it was very, very rocky, but they've been produced, you know, by the same company in the Premier, so I can't understand why there is that. I mean, you watched the Shamrock Rovers stream there, and it's absolutely fantastic, so I can't understand that's why there's such a variety between the streams in terms of quality.
Yeah, could they be getting local lads in? Because I know it's a British company based out of Birmingham, I think. Might be wrong on that. Maybe some of the other streamers on the call might correct me, but I think there's definitely a variation in quality with the camera work on some of the games.
Regular listener Ronan McCarthy from Wexford, who knows all about streaming, he said he's noticed that as well in regards to Derry, that it seems to be a bit below the rest of the Premier, and he asked, is it not the same production company? So yeah, maybe there's volunteer roles, camera work and stuff like that.
Maybe the company is subcontracting some of it out to local.
I definitely didn't notice. I was disappointed having paid the £7 for it on Monday. I just thought the camera work let it down, because everything else, you know, graphics wise and commentary, it was quite good. But anyway, we're getting off subject. You've gone 3-0 Rovers there, was it?
That's right, yeah, 3-0.
Yeah, I've got 2-0 to Shamrock Rovers. We'll move on. This is a huge one. We've touched on it a couple of times. Drogheda against Harps.
Big one here. I think Drogheda need to pull it out of the fire here at home. It's going to be a very, very tough game. I think it'll be one goal in it, if even. It could be a dour nil all draw, but I think Drogheda, they'll go 1-0 here.
Yeah, just back on that, someone's messages there to say clubs do subcontract out some of the stuff, so maybe that's it. But sorry, what have you gone there?
1-0 Drogheda.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you on that one. I know they haven't been pulling up any trees over the last couple of weeks, but just you have to worry about that lack of goals in the Harps team this season. I think Dean Williams has been back over the last couple of weeks, knocking about there, so wouldn't be surprised if he maybe gets the winner in this one. Derry against Dundalk on Friday. I was hoping to go to this one, but I think I'm actually going to watch it on the stream. So Derry, if you're listening, sort out that camera for Friday night. Give us your thoughts on this one. This is a big game for Derry now to try and bounce back from the defeat against Shamrock Rovers last time.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be great if Vinny was still knocking around Dundalk for this one. Prolong that agony from poor old Vinny. But look, I think I'm going to go with Derry here. As I've said probably 1,000 times at this point, they're my tip for the league, so I want them to win. But I think that, you know, they'll probably have enough to beat Dundalk. This is going to be a difficult game for Dundalk. I'm not sure if they have the quality in all areas of the pitch that Derry have. I think Derry are strong in so many positions. I think it'll just be difficult for them. I think one good thing for Dundalk is that they're not facing the two boys, McElhenney and Duffy.
Yeah,
it's
just
unfortunate.
Takes away a little bit of that distraction, doesn't it?
A bit of that spice, yeah. So I think from a Derry perspective, you know, that they've been dealing with Duffy being out for a long time already.
Yeah,
unfortunately, McElhenney is never too far away from being on the injury table. So I think they have enough outside of those two players.
The only thing here is Derry, obviously, that defeat against Rovers, and before that they were stuttering at home, weren't they? They had the draw against Pats, where they couldn't break down the Pats team that just camped into their own half for large periods of the game, and it was the game before that as well. They didn't win at home. anyway, it doesn't matter. But they've struggled at home over the last couple of weeks, which has been surprising. So,
yeah, no, sorry, no, no, I fully agree. But I think this one now, particularly with the loss against Rovers and Tala, I think the need to bounce back, because that 4 points, you know, whatever about the loss earlier on in the season, I think is, you know, they were ahead, but now they have to respond, because particularly with Shamrock Rovers playing on Thursday, they could be going into this game with a 7 point gap.
Yes.
And that's going to be a real, I'm not going to say boost, but like, right, boys, this is, you know, shit or get off the pot time now. We have to win this game. And I think they'll do it. I'm going to go 2-1, Derry.
Yeah, I'm finding this one difficult to call, because they just firing. They haven't been firing on all cylinders in front of goal, Derry, but we know the quality is there. I mean, if McGonagall just turns up and he's on a going day, he could get a hat-trick and put this game to bed. And I think back to the very first game of the season where he missed an absolute sitter in Oriel when he was 1-1 and he hit the crossbar. He looked like he was going to win it late. And I just get the feeling maybe he's due a big goal against Dundalk. Dundalk still a little bit leaky at times this season. They've got quality going forward. We've highlighted the same players over and over again, the likes of Bradley, even though he hasn't scored that many lately. But no. Bradley, Hooban's in decent form. Even Paul Doyle with a couple of goals in recent games, which is great to see, because I think it's taken him a little while to get up to the speed at Dundalk. Yeah. But I'm finding this one difficult. I think I'm going to go safe here. I'm going to go for my old reliable, a 1-1.
Jeez, you just can't bet against Dundalk. That's your problem. And your boyfriend, Stephen O'Donnell, while we're on the topic. I don't agree. I'm not sure that they have the quality enough to go up to the Brandywell and, you know, only concede one. I think Derry are going to come back with a bang and get the 3 points here.
Okay, very good. If you have just joined us, you're listening to the tail end of Series 6, Episode 14 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Don't worry if you've joined us late, though. We will be, you'll be able to listen back on Twitter, but we'll be making it available as a podcast in our usual places as well. And if you have just joined us for the first time ever and you're wondering, who are these egots? Well, head over to betweenthestripes.net and you'll get all of our weekly podcasts there, and you can get a flavour of what we're all about. But we are coming towards the end of the show. Just two more games to preview here. So if there's anyone that wants to come on and have a final say on the show, then hit the request button. Or if there's anyone that feels confident enough to come on and fire us a few quick fire predictions, then again hit the request button or even drop us a tweet. But Bows against Sligo up next, Gary.
Yeah, a difficult one here, make no mistake about it. Bows at home suffered a bad result up in Oriel last week, but Sligo, the way they're huffing and puffing themselves, I don't see either team. I think they're going to cancel each other out, probably. Bows at home, though, is...
I think Bows at home. Bows will be on the front foot. Sligo will camp in and they'll have no ambition of trying to win this game. Yeah. I think they'll go up there and play for a draw, as they've done when they went to Oriel, other games as well this season where they've just totally camped in. It's just whether Bows have enough quality. If they get ahead... can they see the lead out? And I'm not so sure, even against poor Sligo side. I'm just not so sure.
That's where my question comes in. I think at home, as we've seen so many times this season from Bows, they start games so strongly, and then defensive mistakes, lack of concentration, game management, we blew in the face saying it.
Yeah.
Even a ropey Sligo team can surely, you know, get a goal here, which would be a disappointing aspect from a Bows perspective. So I'm going to go 1-1 here. I kind of want to go with Bows, though. If anyone wins this game, I think it'll be Bows.
Yeah, I'm in the exact same camp as you here. I'm going to go 1-1, but if any team's going to win it, be Bows. This was one of the few positives for Sligo over the last couple of weeks. Keane is back scoring goals. It wouldn't surprise me if the two centre-forwards score here. Cancel each other out. Go Promise and I'll go Keena. And if I'm right there, I'm giving myself a bonus point in the predictions league.
You're not. I didn't get any bonus points when I picked every game, right?
Let's see if you can pick the last one right. Do you know what? This is the Dublin derby, so we'll go double points on this one this week. Pats against Shells.
I'm sure the UCD Rovers game is a Dublin derby as well, sure.
It's Thursday night.
All right, fair enough. I'm going to go with Pats here. I think, you know, Shell's away form has been brilliant so far this season. It's the only reason they're not.
I think
rooted.
This is a really interesting game, this one.
Oh, no, it is. I just feel Pats have to start turning the screw sometime. Surely to God, a change will be made up front and they might start banging in a few goals. Obviously, I don't know what team Tim Clancy will be picking, or I wouldn't be sitting here on this podcast. Yeah, I'm going to go. It's going to be a tight game, I think. I just think Pats will have too much in Richmond. I'm going to go 1-0 Pats. Possibly 2-0, but I'll take about one.
I'm going to go for a draw here. I'm just trying to figure out what scoreline I'm going to go with, because Shells, again, they'll be a team that go up and they'll set up very defensively here. They'll be a bit more confident than they were early in the season because they've got two wins under the belt, albeit they both came at Talca. But Pats, you know, we've touched on it there. We had the Pats caller on earlier on, issues with turning possession, a bit like Longford Town, turning possession into goals. Heard it so much from Pats fans, Owen Doyle making great runs, great contributions, but he's out on the left wing. A bit like we were saying about Rob Mandy last season, out on the right wing, you know, your best goal scorer always finding himself out wide. That's not great, and they need to find a way to fix that. Go ahead.
Just on Rob Mandy, I'd love to see him back in a town shirt this year, Rob.
Travesty, that man sitting on a bench. A travesty.
Yeah, I don't. It's very disconcerting. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Rob and Joe. Really good servants along for town. Of course, Rob got the goal to get us promoted. But I just think between the two of them, Rob in particular, I know he's the subject at the minute, but I can't see how. I don't know what's going on that he's sitting on the bench down there.
It's crazy.
Down in Bray. It's scandalous. So,
yeah.
Rob, we're big fans of you, as you well know, up in Bishopsgate.
Come on home, son.
Come on home. but yeah, like, I think with Owen Doyle, we've said it 1,000 times about past this season, and, you know, Thomas has been on a couple of times. It's a formation, it's a setup. Like, there's something that's just not taken over at all for Pats. And even I know that they did kind of make a slight change into how they were playing already this season, but it hasn't really turned it around.
He tried, as Thomas said, tried the 3-5-2 against Derry, probably the worst game you could have tried
absolutely.
That for. Is this a game you could try it for? Probably is. Probably is the game you could try it here.
Well, definitely is, because I think with Dervin and Coyle playing in midfield, you know, you want to overload them pair of lads in midfield and playing five across the middle might be a good opportunity here. And they have the capacity, you know, with Forrester sitting there in midfield, he can get out of those little difficult situations around the midfield, spray it wide to the wingers to get it into, maybe hopefully Owen Doyle won't be out there, and he can get on the end of some of these crosses in. I think they're going to have to really go at this game. Because, you know, they're not doing too bad, but like they surely need to, you know, this is a game that they should be winning. You know, I know
Shells.
Yeah, exactly. And they, you know, they had a couple of draws there already. A good draw against Derry, of course, and that 1-1 there in last time out. But I think they just need to get the win here and move on. Like, this is Shelburne; they're in a different space altogether.
The best shells very handy on the opening day of the season, but Pats were quite poor that day. They flattered them, so this won't be an easy game, but I'd agree with you, they need to go out and give it a good old rattle.
But you
I'm
said
just not
one
sure
one
whether
draw.
They will. I'm going 1-1 draw.
Yeah, on Pats 1-0.
Okay. There is a Pats fan just listening at the moment. Andy, do you want to have a quick say on this game, maybe? If not, then we're going to wrap it up there. Again, if there's anyone else listening wants to have a quick say on anything else, then do hit the request button. But we are going to wrap this up in the next couple of moments. But I hope you've all enjoyed that. As I said at the top of the show, this was kind of more through circumstances than anything else, just the way the work roster is this week. This was the only opportunity we were going to get really to do a pod. But if you have joined us late, don't worry, you'll be able to listen back, and we're going to make it available as a podcast as well. We'll probably get that released in the morning if possible. So
you will be able to listen back in full. But if you have enjoyed the show and you'd like to leave us a donation, buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI is the place you can go. And we'd really appreciate if you could give us a retweet on Twitter as well and try and grow the following so we can get more of you in for the next time we do one of these. But if there's no one that wants to have a request, then Gaz, I'll leave the final word to you this week, my son.
By the stream on Saturday night, Barco will be doing a bit of commentary there, so you can listen to him yet again. And I'll be on production down in Longford, so by the stream, it should be a good game. You'll be watching the best footballing team in the First Division take on Waterford, so you'll all be in for a treat.
Brilliant stuff. I don't think I could have signed it off any better myself. So
yeah,
for this week, from myself, Kieran Burr, from the brilliant Gary Riley, and a massive thanks to all of our listeners that tuned in and that had their say on the show as well. It was great to have you on. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week. Good night and God bless.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.